Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Usually, all and sundry questions are related to intelligent medicine, the best diet, nutritional practices, questions about vitamins, supplements, current health topics. But what's dominating the news these days, and for good reason, coronavirus. And so we have a lot of questions about coronavirus, and let's endeavor to get through them. Radio program at AOL.com, the destination for questions. So Layla, what do we got?
We've got from Sue. Sue writes, if I use disposable gloves, say to get the mail or even go to the grocery store, and when I'm done, I take them off by inverting them, and then I put them in a bag and leave it for a week in a hot car. Sue is in Florida. Would it be safe to reuse them, assuming there are no holes? I'm trying to make the most of a limited supply.
Okay.
Wow.
Let's talk a little bit about gloves.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm not using gloves.
Neither am I.
Nor are you.
Yeah.
So here's my thought process on gloves. Gloves are designed to prevent the picking up of viral particles from surfaces, from money, from credit cards, from items that you pick up in the store. Elevator buttons and things like that. However, and I think actually I have to state this, although some people, they may not actually believe this, but at some level they think there's sort of a potential for transmission, is that the virus is not transmitted through your skin. So you could, if somebody, coughs on a countertop and you put your hands on the countertop, you're not going to automatically acquire the virus. The danger is, though, that if you don't wash your hands after these exposures, and then you touch your face. Frankly, I think if you touch your earlobe, it's not going to go into your bloodstream and cause the virus. There are portals of entry that are basically three. Which are your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. So as long as you don't jam your fingers up your nose, a fairly high percentage of the population, they won't admit it, but they do from time to time. Or wipe your nose. Maybe, you just get a little, you just wipe, swipe your hand across your nose. Well, you could introduce some particles that way. Or rub your eyes. That's a big one.
Rub the eyes,
The classic meme of somebody waking up is, they wake up and sit up and, they rub their eyes. Well, hopefully
rubbing the sleep out of their eyes.
Right. So hopefully they wash their hands before, before going to bed. And then, of course, putting stuff in your mouth. It's less clear that, say, you touch a surface and then eat a sandwich and, you put some viral particles on the sandwich. Is that the way you're going to catch this? It's not entirely clear that it's transmitted that way. So we actually think that the main way that the virus is transmitted is when people cough or sneeze or exhale or talk closely. Everybody's had this experience. Is somebody who you talk to and you realize that there's like a little you know, glob of saliva on your glasses.
Or they might tend to spit while they're talking a little
bit. Yeah. And, okay, so that may occur overtly. Uh-huh. Or it may occur on a microscopic level. And that's when you're, you know, in close proximity to someone. It usually doesn't occur past about 6 feet of distancing. Now, it is true that, you know, when somebody talks, there could be some viral particles suspended in the air, but the breeze, the sunlight, you know, it tends to degrade and destroy those. So coming back to the glove thing, neither of us are in favor of gloves, and I think that's scientifically substantiated, is, you know, I go out without gloves, and I wash my hands very thoroughly when I come back.
Yes, with soap and water.
Now, the virus is actually a pretty puny virus in a sense that it's got what's called a lipid envelope. And that lipid envelope is broken up by soap. You don't need to use Lysol or you don't need, you know, alcohol will do it. That's fine. Bleach will do it. But those things are rather harsh for the skin.
They are. And very, very drying. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the absence of soap, you may use like an alcohol-based wipe or spray or something on your hands. And, you know, you may want to sterilize your countertops with, you know, some a Clorox solution. Okay.
Sure.
But for the hands, what happens is, I mean, when I saute something and there's oil in the pan left over, what I like to do is, you know, put some water in the pan while it's still warm and put a squirt of soap in there, and it will break up the oil before the oil really stays there. That's what soap does. And soap does the same thing to the viral particles. It breaks them up. They fall apart. So that's all you need. I mean, you need more than, you know, 2 seconds of exposure. You know, you need, you know, a thorough hand washing to achieve that with all the potential viral particles in your hands. Then it's still a good idea, you know, get away from touching your face. I mean, I think we're going to see something very interesting happen in, you know, 2020 and 2021 when the next flu and cold season rolls around. We may see a much lower incidence of colds and flus because people are practicing basic elements of social distancing and hygiene.
Yes. And it's a good bit of self-conditioning following the rules that way. It's a good idea. Keeps you safe, keeps others safe.
Yeah.
You know, the social distancing aspect is a good idea, I suppose, during cold and flu season. I don't want it to go too far. Because I think from a mental health perspective, doing this long term may be more problematic than anything. But be a good hand washer.
Yeah.
You know, don't sneeze on somebody.
Right.
Don't cough in their face.
If you wanted to, you know, sterilize those gloves, I mean, obviously, you know, these are gloves that you can't heat. You know, is it a good idea to, you know, keep them in the car? I mean, generally, if a virus is on a surface, it doesn't live that long. Why doesn't it live that long? It needs you to propagate in. It needs a host. And absent a host, there's a sort of a steady process by which the virus is attenuated and ultimately, you know, breaks down. That has been studied on various types of surfaces, metal, ceramic, copper. Copper seems to be sort of protective. You know, on cloth or clothing or rubber, it's a matter of maybe a few hours or days. I mean, there are people who are, you know, a lot of people are, they're not going out, they're ordering packages from Amazon or from, you know, the delivery services, you know, that... they're afraid of the packages. You know, they say, well, they open the packages with gloves. They discard their gloves. They discard the packages. They, you know, swab down the food with alcohol. And, you know, they sometimes quarantine the packages for like, you know, 2-3 days to make sure. It's like, my God, you know, that's, I think, overkill in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, in life, there's a lot of things that are sort of like the 80-20 principle or the 90-10 principle. And I think we're going to get 90% of the benefit from social distancing and not congregating and not sitting, you know, in theaters and movies and, you know, sports events and, you know, going to offices and, you know, crowded restaurants and markets. And then the 10%, well, maybe. I mean, I don't think there's been a really good study to see if people who've been practicing perfect social distancing caught it from an Amazon package. You know, I don't think it would be possible to do that study and really ascertain what's, you know, what's the source, precise source of their exposure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a futile question. It's like, good, you know, if fine. I get a cold or flu and I go, oh, how did I get it? You know, and then it's usually like, oh, I'm going to blame somebody. It's like, oh, that kid brought it home and then I was exposed to it. And it's those damn daycare, you know.
Oh, right. Daycare is often blamed.
You know, it's like, young parents get so sick. They just get,
yes,
they're sick all the time, partly because of stress and sleep deprivation, but partly it's because those little kids are like germ spreaders. And they don't practice good hygiene. I mean, the kid's like doing all kinds
of
stuff.
They've got little jammy hands.
Yes, they got little jammy hands. And they got you know, drippy noses, and they, you know, put their fingers in, you know, explore all their little, you know, recesses of their face. And, you know.
And everything goes in their mouth. Yeah,
exactly. They crawl on the floor, right. You know, they pick up stuff from the floor. So, okay.
God bless them.
So that's a little, I mean, a primer on that. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. We have, Sue, thank you for that question. We've got actually another question from Stephen, who asked about microwaving the money. He says, does Governor Cuomo's new law stop doctors from prescribing the malaria drug for arthritis? Because I have arthritis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's answer that question in just a minute, because I want to give our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with us.
Oh, so, terrific.
Here goes. Please listen up. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Protocol for Life Balance product line, available at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, several stand out, which help support positive mood and relaxation. GABA, 5-HTP, SAMe, L-tryptophan, and Mucuna extract. With current economic and living conditions causing widespread sadness and tension, these neurotransmitters and their precursors can help support positive mood and relaxation. That's according to numerous clinical studies. Their ingredients are backed by solid scientific data. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our question. Layla, you know what that is? In radio parlance, we call that the tease. We're going to tease to a question. Okay, yes. So the question is about Governor Cuomo's edict.
Yeah, edict about, you know, stopping doctors from prescribing the malaria drug for arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
The hydroxychloroquine.
Well, it's
because he has arthritis. Will he be able to get it?
I just got an email which was forwarded to me from one of our patients who mm-hmm. does have a form of lupus, and she does take Plaquenil or hydroxychloroquine, and she's worried that the supply is going to dry up because a lot of people are pouncing on it as the solution, and I think it's a plausible solution. Mm-hmm. You know, there's several ways by which hydroxychloroquine seems to work. Interestingly, it seems to help zinc work better as an antiviral. It actually helps. It's what's called a zinc iodophore, which means it helps zinc better penetrate within the cell where it can do its work to protect against viruses. It also certainly is an anti-inflammatory. And we know that in the more serious cases of COVID-19, there's what's called cytokine storm, which is almost an exaggerated immune response, which has to be tamped down. Now they're using steroids and they're using monoclonal antibodies to block the over-the-top inflammatory response. And Plaquenil is kind of an old drug. It's not a slam dunk against inflammation, but it's moderately anti-inflammatory. It also has a property of being somewhat alkaline, and in a certain part of the transport of viruses to the inside of the cell, the virus is like an acidic environment. Plaquenil tends to promote a more alkaline environment, which may inhibit the virus. This is current thinking.
Wow.
We're not exactly sure how it works, or even if it does work. But, I got to say that there's a lot of promising information. So the governor of New York, Cuomo, is not making it illegal to prescribe. But what he's doing is he's saying, let's conserve our supply for the sickest patients. And
yeah.
So there's kind that of a
sense.
Allocation issue. It's not like, oh, you can't prescribe it. You just can't find it. It's very hard to get. And even though they're mass producing it and they're, shipping in big supplies from overseas, just can't keep up with the demand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And the problem is, I think some people are hoarding it, much as in the past people would hoard things like Cipro,
Cipro for the anthrax
in the aftermath
scare.
Of 9/11 for anthrax, and then Tamiflu during the H1N1 flu, the swine flu.
Yeah.
A lot of people stockpile that stuff, and then there was a shortage. Mm-hmm. So I am patriotically not, taking advantage of my position as a doctor to get, a whole hoard of this against the possibility that I or one of my family members is going to get it, and then I can dish it to them.
So you don't have a stash of Plaquenil, huh?
No, I do not. Okay. So, don't come after me, right? But I do have plenty of toilet paper. So, I am,
oh, good.
I am at risk of, marauders,
I won't tell. Shh. All right.
Okay.
Oh, we've got an email here from Nicole. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I would like to purchase a UV light. Mm-hmm. To kill germs in my home. Could you make a recommendation? What do you think of that?
Well, the airlines are actually using devices with UV light to sterilize the interior of airplanes. And that's kind of on a trial basis. They're not sure if that's going to be the right way to go. But UV light does neutralize the virus. But it's also, you really need a professional to do it properly with proper gear. And eye protection, because UV light can be very damaging to the eyes. It's basically concentrated sunlight. Yeah, concentrated sunlight. And or, you need skin protection because, what's, SPF. SPF 30 protects you from UV light. And so I don't think it's the most expeditious way to protect your environment and sterilize your environment. And there might be some special instances where, say, someone has a documented case of coronavirus in your household, and maybe you might want to undertake more extraordinary cleaning measures. You really want to, clean all the surfaces, and maybe such a device, if it's commercially available, would be warranted. But for the ordinary person, again, it's the 90-10 principle that, you're going to get so much out of social distancing, and maybe you'll get another 5 or 10% from all these additional measures like, various types of air purifiers and UV light and, ozonators and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Nicole, thank you for that question. All right. We've got an interesting one here from Chris. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Do you have any opinion about taking quinine pills in low doses prophylactically against COVID-19?
Okay.
Quinine pills.
Okay, so all this, stems from the fact that chloroquine, which is related to hydroxychloroquine, which is all the buzz these days for COVID-19, chloroquine is a synthetic analog of quinine. It's even got some of the same letters.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
It was made during the 1930s and then used pretty extensively in World War II and then later for GIs in Vietnam. So we have a lot of experience with chloroquine. Chloroquine was anti-malarial, and these are endemic areas of the world where malaria is rampant, like North Africa during the North African campaign. And the South Pacific, and then, of course, Vietnam. Quinine, however, has not been shown to be beneficial for COVID-19. And it's related compound, but it's unclear whether it would be beneficial. Plus, quinine is pretty dangerous. It was actually, quinine pills used to be used for restless leg syndrome. And that was a product called Quinam, I think. I'm not sure what it was, you know, sort
of. And for muscle cramping as well, right?
Right.
For muscle cramping.
Right.
As well, quinine.
But it's.
Some doctors tell their patients to drink some tonic water.
Right.
For example.
Well,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that, you know, it's very tenuous that it might work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are even challenging hydroxychloroquine. You know, does that really work? So, by this chain of causation that's very tenuous, they're saying, well, chain of association, rather, hydroxychloroquine might work, so we'll use quinine, which is which is the natural compound on which this was made, and that might work, but we don't know. And we also are, you know, it's also quite possible that, you know, the dosage that would be effective would be a pretty toxic dosage.
Right.
So
just enjoy that vodka tonic from time to time, and that's about it.
Exactly. we know that, very high percentage of ethanol has a sterilizing effect on... No, I'm not going to go there.
Right.
I'm not going to go there. if you, if you bathe in vodka, you know, maybe it'll...
Right.
Well...
We've got, actually, Dr. Hoffman, we've got one last question, if we can, from Ignatius.
Mm-hmm.
He sent us an article about a tea compound targeted as a potential coronavirus inhibitor. A research team found that teaflavin, a polyphenolic compound found in black tea, shows broad-spectrum antiviral activity against several viruses and could be used as a lead compound for the development of a severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2 inhibitor that targets an enzyme known as RNA-dependent polymerase.
Yeah. And, you know, I recently interviewed Dr. Leo Galland on, you know, it was actually one of the first interviews I did when this series of this became evident. And he's a really terrific scholar on many aspects of natural medicine. And he, you know, looked at the coronavirus very carefully. And one of the things that he proposes is that people drink not green tea, but black tea, because black tea has a higher concentration of teaflavin. And he says an ideal drink would be, you know, throw a little elderberry into your black tea and drink that. And maybe that's going to help confer some protection.
Sambucol, yeah.
Yeah, and Sambucol is the brand name for a popular elderberry. There's also evidence, however, that green tea may have protective effects. So a lot of these dietary polyphenols are beneficial. You get them from tea. You get them from spices, certainly curcumin, oregano, thyme. But also some of the polyphenols that we find in fruits and vegetables, such as quercetin and resveratrol, may have beneficial effects.
Apples, onions, grapes, berries. Yeah.
So, I think there's a sort of a whole panoply of these natural compounds that are worth investigating. We certainly know that tea is associated with protection from metabolic syndrome, which can be a comorbidity that makes people more vulnerable to the effects of the coronavirus. So, we encourage the use of these agents.
Mm-hmm.
Will it be developed into a successful drug? Often the research based on these natural products founders because they try to create a synthetic drug, and it turns out that the natural compound, which is free and available and unpatentable, is better than the, you know, synthetic designer drug that they come up with. But
drink tea. Just drink tea.
Yeah. And yeah. Lots of it. And stay well hydrated. You know, that's, I think, another principle that people can invoke. You know, look, we'll be talking a lot more about lifestyle, and we'll be talking about immunity. We have some great podcasts lined up for you. And we've created a resource page at drhoffman.com, which will list the full roster of articles and podcasts that both Layla and I are compiling. And we're busy. I mean, one thing is this has been a call to action. You know, I want to provide people with relevant, intelligent medicine content all year round. But at this time, you know, we're really trying to step up and focus on some of the most important issues. I'm doing a webinar for the American Nutrition Association.
And that's this Friday.
This Friday. Yeah. It will be at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And if you go to the American Nutrition Association, you can get the heads up on that. That's going to be a broadcast. It's a Facebook Live event. So
there you have it.
Plan to interview Tom Williams this week, who's a brilliant author of Supplementing Dietary Nutrients, A Guide for Healthcare Professionals. Also, Dr. Lise Alschuler, who previously we've consulted many times on the subject of cancer. She's turned her attention lately to coronavirus, and she's got some great insights to share with our listeners. So keep yourself well-informed.
Yeah.
And make sure...
While you're sheltering in place.
Right. And don't succumb to all those comfort foods that the New York Times is talking about.
Exactly. Oh, keep the questions coming to radioprogram@AOL.com, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Layla, and you stay safe.
Yes, you too. Everyone.
You and your family.
Be safe.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.